Hey, there are only two kinds of people in this world. I don't know if you know that, but there's people who, when the gas gauge gets to about half a tank, they think, man, I have got to fill up the tank. And then there are people who, when the gas gauge is all the way below E and the light is on, they say, man, I know my car. I know my car. I know how far I can go. How many people know somebody like that in your home or in your house, right? Go ahead, point at them right now. Might as well call it out. We all know who that person is in your family, right? But some of you right now are maybe running on empty. We're running on empty this Christmas, and we're thinking, man, I hope I make it. I hope I make it. I hope I make it. I mean, that's what you're doing when you're driving on empty. I hope I make it. I hope I make it. I hope I make it. And some of you are feeling that way about Christmas this year. Hey, we're starting a new series. This is our Advent series for Christmas. And the very first week of Advent is hope. And hope is kind of a funny word. Hope sounds weak, right? We say things like, I hope I don't run out of gas. I hope there's a gas station at the next exit, right? We say, man, I hope I get into that college, or I hope I get a good grade on that test. I hope I get the job or the promotion, right? I hope that I have enough money to retire. Man, I hope this sermon doesn't go long because I hope my team wins after this. We hope and we hope and we hope, but we're not really sure, right? I mean, here's the thing. Hope is not weak. Hope is critical. I mean, you need hope to survive. When you don't have any hope, you got to go find some hope. You got to find it. We have to go after it because you can't live without hope. You just can't live without hope. You need something to put your faith into. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. We hope in things we cannot see, and then we put our faith into those things that we hope for, right? We hope on something, and then we put our faith to work on that thing that we hope for. Hope and faith go together. Today I want to talk about a young couple. And you probably heard of them. In fact, their story has been told and retold throughout the generations, year in and year out, right? But I want to talk to you today maybe about the rest of the story. And really, it's going to take some holy imagination today, right? We're going to talk about Mary and Joseph. And here's the question. How did Mary and Joseph meet? I mean, what was that like when they met, right? It isn't exactly recorded in Scripture, so I'm not trying to tell you this is in Scripture, but something like this probably had to happen for Mary and Joseph to meet. It's a Wednesday night, and Mary is headed off to synagogue to go to youth group, right? Because that's what she did. And Mary, for a sophomore, probably had a strong faith. It just seemed like she had a strong faith. Now, Mary is what we would call the trifecta. She is funny, she is cute, and she is smart, right? She's the kind of girl that could get any boy at youth group, really. She could get any boy. But those youth group boys are so immature. I mean, they're so immature. And then as the worship team starts that night, right, there's a youth leader up there and he's playing guitar, Joey. You get me? You following with me? Joey? He's leading worship up there, right? And Joey has flowing hair. I sort of picture him like a young Ian or maybe Pastor Dane back in the 1970s. Like, he has flowing hair and everybody, and with every chord and every lyric, you can tell he is feeling it. He is into the worship. And Mary's trying to focus on God. She's really trying. But every time he flips that hair, she just thinks to herself, oh, he is so cute, right? I've heard this before. I have daughters. I have lots and lots of daughters, actually. So after worship, Joey steps up to do the teaching. And this is the first time Joey's ever done the teaching. And so everybody's watching. And as Joey begins to talk, he's talking about the book of Isaiah. And he's talking about this coming Messiah, right? And Mary is just drinking in every word. She's taking it all in, and all of her friends can see, right? She is engaged, if you know what I mean. They can tell. After group, her and her friends are hanging out somewhere in the youth room there at the synagogue, and Joey wanders over. Everybody kind of breathes in a little bit, and Joey's talking with the group, and everybody could kind of tell Joey's paying a little extra attention to Mary, right? And she's thinking, Is he interested? I mean, maybe he's interested. No, no, he's not interested. But maybe he is. No. I mean, she's a few years younger than Joey, but she's thinking, do you think he likes me? I don't know. Do you think he likes me? Does he like me like that? Right? And they're getting to know each other, and she realizes, and it comes up in conversation, Joey has a job. I mean, Joey is a furniture maker. That last loser that Mary dated, all he did all day long was play PlayStation online with his friends in his parents' basement. But Joey's got a future. Joey's got some potential, right? And afterwards, Joey eventually asks her, she thinks, man, does he like me? Does he like me? Before the night is over, they exchange Instagrams and Snapchats, and then they take off for the night, right? And the girls on the way home are blowing up her cell phone. They are just texting her the whole way home. Well, get this, Joey is interested. And Joey reaches out at the next group and asks if she wants to go and get coffee, and all of her friends giggle, hey, right? Oh, shut up, you guys. It's nothing. I'm sure it's nothing. And they end up going to the House of Coffees in Nazareth, right? And she orders a venti mocha with extra foam. And Joey orders a Diet Pepsi because Joey's not one of those cliche, like, coffee guys, right? But get it, over coffee, they're hitting it off. Like, they're really hitting it off. And it turns into a second date, and they go mini golfing together. And then it turns into a third date, and they go get honey treat yogurt together, right? And eventually she meets his parents, and he meets her parents, and they're spending a lot of time together, right? I mean, they're texting all night long, and LOL and SMH and lots of emojis, and they're just really connecting. And then one day it happens, right? Every love song on the radio or on Spotify starts to make sense. And Mary can really tell that this is really going someplace. Like, this is probably going to go somewhere. And Joey's been saving all of his furniture money. And eventually he drops a bag of coin on a ring. And he buys a couple of goats for Mary's father. By the way, this is a side note, but can we bring that dowry thing back? I mean, I'm a father of I got lots of daughters. I'd love to bring that back if anybody's with me here on that.
No.
But one night, as the sun is setting and it's golden hour, right? And they're walking along, and Joey gets down on one knee and he pulls out this ring, and she thinks, is this happening? Is this really happening? And it is, it's happening, because off in the bushes over there is Dallas with a telephoto lens with filters on it, and he's live streaming the whole thing online, right? And he asks the question, will you marry me? And of course Mary says, yes, oh yes. So exciting, right? Are you with me? Because now they're planning a wedding. Now their whole future's in front of them. Are you with me? Can you picture it? I mean, can you imagine this scenario, right? I'm not saying that's exactly how it went down, obviously, but something like that had to happen along the way. And get this, Mary is filled with hope. I mean, she's just hoping for normal stuff, a normal life, a normal future. But honestly, this stuff is exciting. And so we see Mary is hoping for the future. Mary's hoping for the future. Mary's just like any other young bride-to-be, right? She's hoping for the perfect wedding, and even though her mom's maybe a control freak, right? She's hoping for a little home, right? And maybe she's hoping for 2.5 kids, a little Ethan and an Ava, or an Owen and a Nora, right? And then she's just got her eye on a 2-donkey-powered Toyota minivan. Like, she is just hoping for all of that regular stuff. But listen to what happens to Mary's hopes and dreams. In Luke chapter 1, it says, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Sounds good so far, right? Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. And this all still sounds pretty good. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow, this is great, Mary thinks, right? But Joey and I aren't even married yet. Listen to it as it continues. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am still a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Whoa, 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 whoa. What about Joey? I mean, how am I going to explain this to Joey? All of Mary's hopes and all of her dreams and everything that she has plans for with Joey are hanging in the balance, right? He'll never believe me. He's never going to stay with me. Everyone knows that we're engaged, right? Everyone knows we're planning this wedding. Now what? And we see, like, in an instant for Mary, she went from a bride-to-be, and now she's afraid she's going to be a divorced single mom. Are you getting the picture here? I mean, Mary's Christmas is not turning out the way that she had hoped. Maybe that's happening with you this Christmas. I mean, already it's not turning out the way you had hoped, right? I mean, you didn't plan to be out of work this Christmas, or you'd never planned for your business to be just hanging on by a thread going into Christmas, right? You never planned to be fighting that medical battle this Christmas, and you never planned for your marriage to be on the brink this Christmas. Maybe you never planned for the empty seat that's going to be at the table this Christmas. You know what I'm talking about, the person you thought would be there, but maybe they can't travel this year because of COVID, or maybe their relationship has been broken and fractured in this year, or maybe it's just they're really gone, like you lost them this year, and this is the first Christmas you're going to face without them. And this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but it sure doesn't feel all that wonderful right now, right? And maybe you're losing hope for Christmas this year. I'm guessing Mary might have felt the same way. But Mary responds in hope. And Mary responds in faith. Listen to what it says in Luke 1:38. It says, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. I can only imagine when the angel left, she must have said to herself, "What just happened? I mean, what just happened here? Is this, did I just dream all that? I mean, am I really going to have a baby?" And listen to Mary's song just a few verses later as we really dive into Mary's response to this. In Luke 1, starting in verse 46, it says, Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy. And he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation, to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary is filled with hope. She's believing the promises made to generations and generations, to ancestors, to the Israelite people. Despite the reality in front of her, despite what she's going to face at home, despite the conversation she has to have with Joey, she's embracing the hope. Now, how do I tell Joey? I mean, how do I tell him? And Joey is blindsided by this, right? Joey never saw it coming. Joey didn't have a clue, right? And when he finds out, I think Joey was probably just... Well, I think Joey was hoping for a way out. That's what I think he was doing. He was hoping for a way out. Listen, in Matthew chapter 1, it says this. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, who is this Holy Spirit guy? I'll kill him, right? He's getting in the way. I can't believe this. I mean, I still love her, but how can I turn away and ignore this? In verse 19, it says, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And get this, in an instant, Joseph went from an eligible bachelor, now he's afraid he's going to be jilted and humiliated. Nobody will ever believe this. I mean, I'm going to be the laughingstock of Nazareth, right? I'll never get to lead worship at youth group again. Everywhere I go, people are going to be talking about me behind my back, or maybe even to my face they'll be talking about me. Maybe I'll just move to Idaho.
Wow.
Listen, this is not what Joseph hoped for, right? Joseph was hoping for a beautiful bride walking down the aisle towards him. Joseph was hoping for a honeymoon on the island of Cyprus. It's beautiful this time of year. Joseph was hoping for some home cooking, right? Joseph was hoping for a new life on his own where he was the man of the house. Joseph was hoping for a family. He was hoping for his family, for a son named Ethan or Owen or Blake, playing catch in the yard. Listen, I've always said, man, if I was Joseph, I would need a visit from an angel. I would need that visit. I would need not just a dream, I would need a vivid dream, a dream in technicolor, a dream that left me thinking, because if not, I'd be out. I'd be gone. I'd be like, that's it. But Joseph would respond in hope. Joseph responds in hope. He responds with the hope that Mary is telling the truth. He responds in hope that his experience with an angel was real and not just a result of like some bad sushi from the night before, right? Joseph responds in hope. And all of these broken dreams and all of this discouragement would result in Jesus, the hope of the world. In Matthew 1, it continues, it says, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Verse 23 says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Many of you know this is a reference to the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah, almost 700 years earlier, we get this promise of a coming Messiah. Heck, for the last 400 years, the prophets have been silent altogether. They haven't been speaking for God anymore. We don't even know if God's forgotten us up there. But that promised Messiah was coming. And Jesus was a thrill of hope for a weary world. He was a thrill of hope to a weary world. And can I tell you, we need a little hope right now. I don't know, do you feel it? Like, we need a little hope right now. Maybe this Christmas more than ever, we need some hope. And that hope comes in the person of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from the season. It doesn't come from Christmas spirit. It doesn't come from good things like family time together and warmth and all those things. There's nothing wrong with that, but that isn't where our hope comes from. Our hope comes from the God who came down, who became Emmanuel, who became a baby to dwell with us, to live amongst us, and to give his life to save us. Listen, this Christmas time, our church is hoping to give hope away in a big way. I mean, it's been a crazy year, and we want to spread hope like never before. Did I mention in a big way? We want to do this in a very big way. When I say big way, I mean big way, like 30 feet by 30 feet. Our church is putting up a drive-in movie screen out in our parking lot, right? And in our church parking lot, we're going to share a movie called The Thrill of Hope. Our big Christmas musical that we do every year, this year has been cinematically captured, and it is going to be out on the screen for our entire community to experience The Thrill of Hope. In a weary world, in a crazy year, we want to give hope away in the person of Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus Christ. To the actual hope of the world. Which leads me to...
So what?
There we go. So what? You know, I read a story about a very large school system. This was a long time ago, but a very large school system in a big city. And they had a program where they would send teachers to hospitals for kids that had been hospitalized to keep up their academics. Like the things they were missing in class, they would send them there to help tutor them so that they didn't fall too far behind their classmates. And they sent this teacher. She got a routine call, and she called the main teacher, and the teacher said, "Hey, we're studying nouns and adverbs. Could you please go to the hospital and tutor him on nouns and adverbs so he doesn't get too far behind?" So this teacher went to the hospital. Well, nobody told her by the time she got there that this little boy had been burned very severely. I mean, he was burned so severely and was in a ton of pain all the time. And she sort of stammered at seeing him and said, I've been sent by the school to help teach you nouns and adverbs. And after that day was over, she felt like she really hadn't accomplished much or done much of a good job. But the next day when she showed up, the nurse came running down the hallway to meet her and said, "What did you do to that boy?" And this young teacher stammered and started to apologize. "I don't know, I was just trying to..." And she said, no, you don't understand. You don't know what I mean. We've been worried about that kid. But ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as though he decided to live yesterday. A few weeks later, the boy explained. He'd completely given up hope. Until that teacher arrived. And when that teacher arrived, he thought to himself and came to this simple realization, and it's this: they wouldn't send a teacher to teach me nouns and adverbs to a little boy who's dying. Let me ask you a question. What is it you're hoping for this Christmas? I mean, really, what are you hoping for? Personally, what are you hoping for? What is it you can hold on to in hope? I mean, you can give it to God, but you can hold on to it in hope. Because honestly, when we have hope, we think differently. We begin to think differently. Without hope, we just live for today, right? That's all we have is today. If today's going well, great. But without hope, we don't even begin to think about tomorrow. When we have hope, we can be positive about our lives. And when today isn't going so well, we can think, well, there's not too much to hope for. I mean, if today's going well, we're positive. But if it's not going well, then whatever. Can you start to think differently about this Christmas? Can you begin to think differently about this Christmas with hope? Instead of focusing out on what we're going to miss out on this Christmas, can you begin to think of what all the good things God has done this year and this Christmas? Instead of focusing on who won't be there this year at the holidays, can you start to focus on who God still has right in your life this Christmas? Instead of focusing on the traditions that are going to get broken for one reason or another, can you start to think, what new traditions, what new things can we do together? The truth of the matter is, we're all still hoping for the same things this Christmas as we've hoped for every Christmas, right? We're hoping for family and friends and the warmth of gathering together. We're hoping for, cliche as it is, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, joy to the world. We're really hoping for the thrill of hope to a weary world, Jesus Christ. Listen, in the middle of a pandemic, where the message has been don't gather and don't celebrate and don't sing, as Glenn has said, we won't let anyone or anything steal Christmas from us. No one and no thing can steal Christmas from us. It's ours. It belongs to us. It was given to us by God on high. No virus can steal it. No government can take it from us. Nobody can take our hope. You know what? No one can take your hope. You can only surrender your hope. I want to make sure you hear that. No one can take your hope. You can only surrender your hope. You can give up hope, but no one can take hope from you. Hope keeps us looking towards God. And we're not looking at today, we're looking at what God is going to do, and we're looking ahead to eternity. Listen to what it says in the scripture. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So when we have hope, we think differently, but when we have hope, we also act differently. We behave differently. Have you ever been around somebody with no hope? Wah, wah, Debbie Downer, right? They bring everybody down when they don't have hope, right? And people without hope tend to disconnect and they tend to hide, right? And they bring everybody else down. But people with hope act differently. People with hope are optimistic. We're not unrealistic. We don't deny that there's hard things in the world, that there's not a pandemic out there, or that there's not people suffering. We don't do that, but we operate with optimism because we believe in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we know how the story ends. We know how the story ends. So no matter what is happening right now, there's something more waiting for us. So we act differently. Romans 12 says this: never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Listen, nobody, and I mean nobody, steals Christmas from us. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for this holiday season. God, in the midst of this crazy year, that you have something good for us, God, that we don't have to dwell in the hardships of this year. We can dwell in the hope of what you have promised us, God. We don't have to be mired down in the clay of all the things we can't do, God. We can be hopeful for the things we can do and for the impact you will have. God, I pray that we would think differently and that we would act differently this holiday season. And that as a result of that, God, we would shine the thrill of hope to a weary world. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.